Hey, what's up? It's Dr. Ward. Welcome to this episode of Into the Fix. So last week we talked about why. And when we ask the question why, we want to make sure we're asking the right question. And the question's not, why is this happening? The question is, why am I doing what I'm doing? Or why am I responding the way I'm responding? This week I want to talk about how to know what to do. I've said this more times than I can probably count. But a lot of times when people come into therapy, they come in because there's a problem. Almost always. And the problem could be different. It could be problems with their marriage. It could be problems at work. It could be problems at school. It could be problems anywhere. But almost always, people come into therapy because there's some problem that they're having that they don't know how to remedy. And usually at some point through the therapeutic process, right, at some point along the way, people will ask, well, what should I do? And this is the part where someone who's not very experienced probably just gives them advice or just gives them an answer or just tells them what to do. That's not what I do. If you're somebody who sees me, if you're a therapist, if you're a client of mine, you'll know I won't ever tell you exactly what to do. Not because I don't have an opinion, believe me, not because I don't have an opinion. I almost always have an opinion about what people should do, but I very rarely provide it directly like that. So if you said, should I quit my job? I'm very rarely going to say yes, quit, or no, stay. And there's kind of a couple reasons for that. First and foremost is it's not my life, right? Whatever decision you make has very little impact on me. So I'm not going to tell you quit your job because I don't have to live with the consequences of that, right? I'm not going to tell you to stay at your job because I don't have to live with the consequences of that either. And so one of the reasons why I won't give advice is because I don't have to live with the consequences. So I don't think it's fair for me to be weighing in and telling you what you should do when I have little skin in the game, right? When it doesn't affect me at all. And the other reason why I don't give much advice is because I want you to own your own decisions. If you choose to leave your job and it turns out to be a great decision, I want you to take all the credit for that. If you leave your job and it turns out to be a crappy decision, I want you to take all the blame for that too. I don't want to share any of that. And so it's not that I don't have opinions, but I'm very reluctant to sort of tell people what to do. But a lot of times people want to know, what should I do? What should I do? And to me, it's not about getting to the answer necessarily. It is, but it's about the process of how we get there. Because to me, in almost any situation we can talk of, there are multiple options. And sometimes, quite honestly, they're really just sort of a matter of preference. That it might be like, oh, well, it's 55% I should do this, 45%. But it's pretty close, right? That there's usually not just a set answer. Like if somebody says, should I leave my job? There's usually probably a pretty good argument on both sides of the coin. Maybe not completely, but usually so. And so then the question gets into, well, how do we make decisions? If ultimately you're sort of saying, Doc, that like both decisions carry kind of equal weight, then how do I know what to do? How do I know what changes I should be making? So to me, I think there's a very basic process we should go through when we decide what changes we want to make. And the first is very simple, to just identify what is the problem. But it's actually not as simple as it thinks, because when a lot of people say, when I say, what is the problem? A lot of people are going to say, well, the people at work are messing with me, or my wife's nitpicking me, or my kids just complain because of whatever, whatever. But that's not what I want to do. When I say, what is the problem? I want you to think a little bit larger, and I want you to think without pointing to somebody else. Even if it involves somebody else, I want you to identify the problem without pointing to somebody else. So if we say you're having problems at work, you know, say you're having problems with your coworkers, and I say, what's the problem? What I would want you to say is, I'm having problems getting along with my coworkers. Doesn't matter at this point whose fault that is, because we could say I'm having trouble getting along with my coworkers because they're all being assholes. Or it could be I'm having trouble getting along with my coworkers because I don't want to work there anymore. It doesn't matter. The first part is just to identify what the problem is. I'm having trouble getting along with my coworkers. The next step is where we get into identifying, well, what's causing this problem? If I'm having trouble getting along with my coworkers, why is that happening? And again, everybody's sort of gut reaction is just to point to somebody else. Well, I'm having problems at work because of them. But let's like be a little more sophisticated than that. Let's not be so childish as just to like to point a finger at somebody else and go, it's their fault. It's their fault. So if I'm having problems at work, what are the problems and what's causing the problem? So if you say I'm having problems getting along with people, well, what's causing this problem? And it could be something like, well, people at my job talk about everybody and I don't like that. And so I'm having trouble getting along with them. Or I feel like people who don't have positions of authority are telling me what to do, and I don't appreciate that. I don't think it's right. Or it could be, you know, I'm a difficult person to be around, and so I'm having problems because I'm a problem. So the first part is to identify what the problem is. The second part is to ask, what is causing the problem? And then the last part is, how does making a change fix the problem? So if my problem is at work, and I'm having problems getting along with people at work, and that's what's causing the problems. How does getting a new job fix that problem? On its face, it seems like it should be really easy. If I'm working at Walmart and I don't like the people at Walmart because I'm having trouble getting along with them, then I'll just go get a job at Target and I won't have to deal with the people at Walmart. Problem fixed. That's what most people think. That's literally what kind of how most people think. If I'm having problem over at X, I'll just go to Y and then I won't ever have the problems that I'm having at X again. And I guess there's an argument to be made for why that could be true. But here in the real world, that very rarely works that way. Why? Because very rarely are any of your problems 100% somebody else's fault. Very rarely. They could be. I mean, you could just be minding your own business, walking down the street, and somebody just hits you in the head with a brick. But in general, most problems, especially most life problems, we're sort of contributing to in some way. Now, again, I'm not going to say it's 50-50. It could be 90% your coworkers and 10% you. But that 10% is really important. Why? Because if you move from Walmart to Target, you're taking that 10% with you. And so when we say, is changing going to fix the problem? We have to say, is it going to fix all of the problem? Because the first problem is the way people are behaving. The second problem is the way I'm responding to them. Because people can be as obnoxious or as rude as they want to be. It's up to me to choose how I respond to that. And so me just going from Walmart to getting a job at Target doesn't change the way I respond to people. So unless I move to a job where everybody's behaving and nobody's doing anything that I disagree with, I'm probably going to have some problems in the future too. But this is really important, really, really important, because you'll see people jump from marriage to marriage because it's their wife's fault. You'll see people jump from job to job because it's the job's fault. When the truth is, even when it's my wife's fault, even when I'm at a difficult job, even when I have difficult coworkers, there's something that I'm contributing to that situation that is impacting the situation and the way I feel about it. And so before we just start playing whack-a-mole and trying to like fix problems by leaving and by changing and, you know, always wanting to do something different, I think it's really important to identify what is this problem about. If my wife and I are having problems because she has issues, what are her issues? And how am I responding to those issues? Because guess what? The next person I marry is going to have issues too. And the way I respond to their issues is going to dictate how happy my marriage is there as well. And so we don't want to just run around making changes willy-nilly and just sort of hoping it works out. We want to think about what's the problem, what's causing the problem, and how does making change actually fix the problem? So that's it for me. That's it for this episode. Be sure to follow me on Instagram and Facebook at Into the Fix. If you're in the Pittsburgh area, I have a private pay practice in Sewickley. Information for that can be found at andrewwardphd.com. This is Dr. Ward. I'll talk to you again next time.